312.
Just look to thee and thank thee for another privilege of being in the presence of thy beloved Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. And we consider this meeting that's before us an open meeting. Ministry is the Lord may lead, Lord Jesus. And we just look to thee for thy help and thy blessing. We look to thee too that the ones that get up to speak will speak as the oracles of God, Lord Jesus, and minister those things that are needful for us, for our comfort, for our edification, exhortation, and even correction if necessary, Lord Jesus. So we just look to thee for this. We pray the ones that get up with what they have in their heart, they've truly enjoyed in their own souls, Lord Jesus. And as they present it to us and water us with thy precious word, they themselves will be watered too in it too, Lord Jesus. So that each one that gets up is blessed as well. So we just look to thee for this, Lord Jesus, for thy help and thy blessing and anticipate a blessing too, Lord Jesus. And we thank thee in thy worthy and precious name, Lord Jesus. Amen.
I'd like to just read some verses without comment. One of the speakers, perhaps an intro. In Genesis 32. Thank you. Verse 30. And Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, for I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved. And then in the Gospel of John chapter 12, and verse 21. The same came therefore to Philip, which was at Bethsaida of Galilee, and desired him, saying, Sir, we would see Jesus. And the verse that was in our chapter this morning, John 20, and verse 20. And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord.
Could we turn to Luke chapter 6 for a verse? Luke chapter 6 and verse 46. And why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? These are searching words. And I believe everyone who would call Jesus Lord would do well to have these words echoing in their minds constantly, especially in our day. So the question might arise, well, what did the Lord say? He said a lot of things. But one would think that in considering this verse, that someone who is concerned with what he says here would want to know what was the primary thing he said. What seemed to be most important to him? Turn over to John 15. Let's start at verse 10. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Verse 17, these things I command you, that ye love one another. This portion, chapter 15, chapter 14, chapter 15, chapter 16, chapter 17, seemed to be when the Lord was pouring out his heart before he went to die for us. And he expresses what his desire is for us while he's gone, while he's absent in the body. And if you look at the end of John 17, which was where he poured out his heart to the Father, he says, I have declared unto them thy name and will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. So would it be safe to say that the most important thing to the Lord for us, his people, in his absence, is that we love one another? Is that fair to say? Is there anything that was more important to him if we consider all his words? And so as Christians, everything must flow from this. There's a portion that's often read at the Lord's table, 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And I just point this out as an example. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. The portion that's often read starts at verse 23. And sometimes it goes until verse 26. Sometimes it goes a little longer. But I want you to notice something about this portion. It is, if this is the right word, it is enveloped in another subject. It's in the middle of something that Paul was taking issue with the Corinthians about. Have you ever noticed that? It starts in verse 17. Now this I declare unto you, and I praise you not, that ye come together not for the better, but for the worse. For first of all, when ye come together in the assembly, I hear that there be divisions among you, and I partly believe it. Skip down to verse 20. When ye come together, therefore, into one place, it is not to eat the Lord's Supper. What's he saying? I think they thought they were coming together for the Lord's Supper, right? But he says you're not. Why does he say that? For, and you know this word for, whenever you see that in Scripture, F-O-R, it means what I'm about to say is the reason for what I just said. And so why does he say that they didn't come together to eat the Lord's Supper? For in eating everyone taketh before other his own supper, and one is hungry and another is drunken. What? Have ye not houses to eat and drink in? Or despise ye the church of God and shame them that have not? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? I praise ye not. And then he goes into what the Lord did for us. Right? Because when we have before us the bread and the wine and we remember the Lord and we observe that he gave himself for us, if we're touched with that, the reaction should be what? We would love one another. And so he says, you come together, you do this. But look at the way you're treating each other. The way you're treating each other betrays the fact that when you come together, on the pretense of bringing the Lord to remembrance, and yet you treat each other the way you do, it's not real. And you know, as proof that this is his subject, the way we treat one another, if you go down toward the end, he comes back to it and he says, wherefore, brethren, verse 33, when ye come together to eat, tarry for one another. You see, this scripture we so often have before us at the Lord's table was in the context that was not so positive. The context was the way that they were treating one another was not according to the Lord's heart. I think most all of us realize we've been through a lot as the so-called gathered saints. And I hope you don't take offense when I say the so-called. There is the gathered saints. There are those who are gathered to the Lord's name. We believe that it's us or we wouldn't be here, right? But there could be many reasons why I would be among you. Maybe I just like the way you worship. Maybe I like your deportment. Maybe I was brought up in it and I don't know anything else. There can be all kinds of reasons why someone would be among us. But being gathered to the Lord's name is a reality. And so when I say the so-called gathered saints, please forgive me, but I'm referring to what we see. What's in our hearts, only the Lord really knows. But we've been through a lot. Even in the short time that I've been gathered. And you know, if you consider the root of all the troubles that come in and cause divisions, you're going to find that it always starts with a failure to keep the Lord's new commandment. That's where it all starts to break down. You know, I'm a parent, and I understand that sometimes love would have you to express something that doesn't look like love. But each one of you just need to ask this question when you're dealing with another saint, regardless of what the context is. Would I want to be treated the way I'm treating this brother or sister? That's a simple question. Is that how I would want to be treated? Is that how I would want to be handled? And I believe that some of us can honestly say that if we were in the condition that we find some, that we would want to be treated in not such a pleasant way, because that's good for us, right? It's just like taking a child who needs to be trained, and you're going to have to be unpleasant with him. That's part of loving him. But there are many times when it's not before us, the Lord's commandment. And we can do things on the pretense of guarding his holiness, guarding his glory. But what was primary on the heart of the Lord Jesus before he left here? What was the one thing that was so important to him? Is it not clear that he would look down from the glory upon his own here and see them loving one another? That's what was on his heart. And so, perhaps we should ask that question: why callest thou me Lord, Lord, and you don't do what I say? Most men and women, they have one or two or very few things that are primary with them, that are their highest priority, and everything else revolves around that. Am I right? The Lord would have all of our doings, whether with the assembly or with outside the assembly, at work, at school, but primarily in how we treat one another, he would have everything revolve around this, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Now, part of the problem is the world's definition of love has influenced us. You know, we have a hard time with that scripture where he says, love your enemies, right? And the reason I believe we have a hard time with that is because to us, love means a warm and fuzzy feeling. And so we interpret what he says as, have a warm and fuzzy feeling about your enemies. And we just have a real hard time doing that. But that isn't what he said. Love, you know, love does what is best for its object. It does what is best for its object, regardless of how you feel. It's just so sad in any context to see love abandoned. If you follow the letters to the seven churches in Revelation 2 and 3, all the failure starts with what? Thou hast left thy first love. Now, I think we probably would think of that as the first love, or the best love, is our love for the Lord, right? In both the Old and the New Testament, God did not make a difference between loving him and loving his own. He made no difference. And we need to be reminded of that. How can a man say that he loves God whom he has not seen if he does not love his brother whom he has seen? And however you treat another child of God, the Lord Jesus considers that as how you treat him. And you can have all the warm and fuzzy feelings for him, and yet you despise one of his little ones? You mistreat one of his own? It's not real. By the word of the Lord himself, it's not real. And so many problems and so many issues would just go away if we would consider, this is my commandment, that ye love one another. And it's as I have loved you. We won't go to all the verses in John's epistle, but he brings this out. He said, you know, if the Lord laid down his life for us, we ought to lay down our life for the brethren. And if you're not willing to give of yourself, you're done with love. Because by its very definition, the love that is spoken of here is selfless. It's willing to be inconvenienced. It's willing to have your interests set aside. And maybe you wanted to do something, but there's a need that you see. And to meet that need, you're going to have to give up what you wanted to do. That's love. This is all very basic. And yet, I believe all of you will observe, when divisions come in and when things come in, you can see the breakdown. You can point to where love was set aside, sometimes even in the name of doing what's right. Now, love would not do what's wrong. And sometimes what has to be done has to be done. But it's often troubling. And I think you know what I was going to say. This is important. When you hear this word, don't point at anybody else. Don't point to those brethren, or that leading one, or this one, or that one. Please, just apply this to yourself. This should be primary in anyone who calls Jesus Lord. It should be primary. It should be priority number one because it was with him. It's what was on his heart before he left. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Why call ye me Lord, Lord? And not do what I say.